I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And bring in Adam the Bull of the Midday Show. What's going on, Adam?
Darren, what did I think? What did I get moved to the Midday Show, buddy?
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't Midday. It was technically, I've always thought about it like this.
Yeah,
Midday
ahead.
Is like 2 o'clock, right? Technically, it's you 2 to 7. But technically, yeah. 2 o'clock to me has always been midday. I'm like, well,
I mean,
4 to 7.
If we're getting technical, noon is midday because that's halfway to the end of the day.
Yeah, it is. But it does encompass. For me, midday is like 12 to like 4.
3.
Yeah,
4?
Yeah, 4.
All right.
Well, you know, we on two different people's times, you know. To me, I'm just getting up. Like, what's up? Let me get up early. It's 12.
What are you talking about? You get up early in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But you're not Jonathan Peterlin. I mean, he sleeps till like noon every day, I think.
Yeah. Nah, I can't do that, man. I'll be right up early, 7:30, looking around. But obviously, I do get up a little later now because I do work from home.
Right.
So I don't have that commute in the morning. So that's always awesome.
You know, so what's funny, Garrett, is when you asked me to come on today, you originally asked me, I think, yeah, for this time at 10:20, and you were worried I'd be too early, and I'm like, I get up at 6:30 in the morning every day, which is normally true, but for whatever odd reason, bizarrely, I actually slept till 9 o'clock this morning, which I never do. But it's a good thing you didn't ask me to come on earlier, because I haven't slept till 9 o'clock probably in like a decade, except when I'm sick.
I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but I slept till 9 today. It was really weird. Anyway,
before we get into the baseball thing, I was talking on Twitter, and I said there are certain things like black dudes can wear that white guys can't. Have you ever owned a pair of Timberlands that were colored in any other color except for like brown or beige?
I have not. In fact, I've only owned one pair of Timberlands. You know, I mean that. I don't know how long Timberlands have been around, but like, I don't know. Do you know how long Timberlands have been around?
I mean,
forever?
Well, they've been in our culture for a while. Timberlands have been like that's our classic everyday boot. So that's mid-80s.
I mean, growing up in New York, I don't remember anybody wearing like boots in Brooklyn. Like, everybody just wore, and everybody says tennis shoes here, but we just all wore sneakers.
Sneakers back in the day. So was Nike or Converse hot back then?
I think when I was really young, it was Converse. But as a kid, as like, you know, going to high school and stuff, Nike was huge. Nike was big.
Yeah. Now, you know. Now, mid-age, it's all New Balance. You know, you get.
That's what I wear. That's
but
slowly I see,
morph
I don't,
into it.
But I don't care, like, I don't care about wearing cool shoes. I just need, I got, like, really wide feet, and I'm just like, I need comfortable shoes, man. I just got to be able to take a walk, and, I mean, I sound like such an old man, but I just need comfortable shoes. And I've reached that point where I just want them to be comfortable. Yeah, I'd prefer they look, like, not horrible, like, really look like old man shoes, but I more care about the comfort level.
By the way, New Balances are the most comfortable shoes.
Yes. They have the most selection of like wide size shoes, and because you I'm guessing you got wide feet too, probably. I mean, you're a big guy.
I just wear size like 14 or 15.
Oh, jeez. I'm a 12. I'm a 12, like 5E or whatever it's called. That's the width. I don't know. Whatever it is. 4E,
yeah,
not 5. I don't know what. I can't remember what it is, but.
But when we get into the baseball situation, I wanted to get into it and ask you specifically, you know, we got this thing with the social injustice going on, and we've heard it from, I talked to Ken about NASCAR, we've also seen it, you know, traditionally NBA is really always vocal, and now you've even got Roger Goodell coming out. What do you think that baseball has done, or do you think they're doing enough as far as being vocal, or do you think they just got bigger fish to fry, like we just need to find out if we can play this year?
Yeah, well, I certainly, listen, the two things can work can be done at the same time. I mean, obviously they need to try to find a way to come back, but this is an important issue that everybody is discussing, or at least everybody should be discussing right now. I mean, there should have been more discussion of this for decades, and at times there have been, but not like now. And I think it's a great thing, and I think they're it can't just be about talk. Like, it's fine for Roger Goodell to put out that video, but what's he going to do to back that up? When is Colin Kaepernick going to get a job? I mean, it can't just be about talking. It's got to be more than just talking. It's got to be about doing. Now, I know that Theo Epstein, the Cubs general manager, and a handful of other general managers, you know, have talked about it this week. He in fact, was – I appreciated his honesty. He said, you know, I've hired – most of the guys that work around me are guys that look like me, that talk like me, and, you know, I got to think about doing things differently and changing. And I appreciate that honesty. But the talk is fine. A lot of people are talking. It's what are you doing? What are you doing to back up those words? As an organization, I don't think baseball has done enough. I think there are individual players who are and individual general managers who have said things, and certainly there are some players who have done things. But as a whole, no, baseball hasn't really done anything. And you know, some of these statements from teams to me, generally all sports, ring very hollow. Like, everybody was like, well, finally the Knicks made a statement. I don't care about the Knicks statement. The Knicks made their statement when they didn't make a statement. Teams being forced into making statements, if it gets to that point, your words are hollow. They're meaningless. So, and in the end, it's all actions and not words that matter.
Talking to Adam DeBull, and he's on the afternoon. He's an afternoon drive. You got it right. That's a different bracket. Afternoon.
That's right.
on the North Osage Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Now, I've always had this phenomenon for me, and maybe you can give me some insight into this. A lot of people wouldn't know that the first sport I ever played was baseball. I didn't start playing football until I was 14 years old, 15, yeah. And I wasn't very good. I got cut from my basketball team in sixth and seventh grade. I didn't start basketball in high school, made the team. Yeah. Baseball was my sport. Baseball was my father's sport. Baseball was something when I grew up, you know, my dad, they say when we were Mighty Mites or you know, the Little League.
Yeah.
He hit like 13 home runs. So when I grew up, I did 14 home runs. And when I grew up, we had people like Griffey. We had Frank Thomas and Kenny Lofton and Albert Bells and the Fred McGriffs. And then it just seems like there was a shift as far as black athletes just completely not being involved in baseball and being totally disconnected. And even though I find myself today being disconnected from the game, why do you feel that there is such a disconnect with the black community in baseball and in general, a lack of superstar black players that we used to see back in the day? And what's going on, and why do you think that is?
I think there's a variety of reasons. You're right. The percentage of black American players, and I say that because, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the percentage of black American players in baseball is the lowest it's been in, I want to say, over 30 years, maybe 40 years. I can't remember the exact years off the top of my head, but it's been on a steep decline. The last couple of years, not on a steep decline, but it was on a steep decline. And I think there's a variety of reasons. I think I've been saying for years, baseball doesn't promote its sport well, and it's become a sport that's mostly based in the suburbs and in Latin America, where obviously it's huge. And so the dynamics and the makeup of Major League Baseball has changed. And I think they've done a terrible job in inner cities of helping little leagues. You know, it's much easier to play if you live in a big city, whether you're black or white, doesn't matter. It's much, you know, generally, if you're growing up in the inner city, you know, there's not as much money as there is in the suburbs. So, you know, anybody growing up in the city, it's a little easier to grab a basketball and just go play, or grab a football. You don't need, you know, yeah, I mean, when you play in college and pro, you need equipment, but you could just grab a football and play a game. With baseball, there's a little more equipment involved, right? You know, because you need the bat, you need the glove. It can be a little more expensive, and I don't think baseball has invested enough in inner cities. I think that's a huge shame. And the next thing is also, it's just for, because there's so much exposure now on TV of all these sports, it's, players know, young people know, it's much easier. The path to the NBA and the NFL is much easier to see because you don't go to the minor leagues, right? Mm. Man, I really, college is the minor leagues. It's free labor. It should, it's not, it's professional sports, but still, like, you don't have to, in baseball, if you get drafted, we don't see you for at least 3 years. And if you drafted out of high school, we probably don't see you for 5-6 years before you play in the big leagues, and maybe never. Whereas in the NBA and the NFL, you immediately go to the pros. You immediately get that money. Now, in baseball, if you're a top first or second round pick, you get some signing bonus money. But, you know, a lot of guys don't want to be in the riding the buses in the minor leagues for 3, 4, 5 years. So I think a lot of these things have factored in. I think baseball has done a terrible job with Little Leagues. When I grew up in New York, you know, Little League was huge. It felt like a connection to Major League Baseball. I grew up, and where I grew up, you know, there was a lot of diversity, much more than there is here in Cleveland, and certainly on the west side where I live. And so everybody played baseball. All my friends, like, anyway, again, I grew up in a diverse community. You know, I'm Jewish. I had a lot of Italian friends, black friends, Puerto Rican friends, Chinese friends. It was a big mix, and we and Irish friends, and we all played baseball together, right? And so you had that, and there was, and it was a bigger deal. And you talked about your dad being more into baseball. I think the generation earlier, it was a bigger deal. It meant more, and especially anybody, you know, any the generation that was old enough to see Jackie Robinson play, and you know, my dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and he loved Jackie Robinson, and I think that meant a lot, you know, and that's, I think, why a lot of people gravitated toward baseball, and as years have gone by, I think that's changed.
When we kind of pivot from the, you know, race and baseball, and we kind of pivot to what's going on right now, when you look at it, I've always said that after COVID-19, my employer at my other job, you know, we had a conference call, and he said something that was so poignant. He said, you guys realize that it's not going to go back to the way it was. And it hit me and it shocked me because I think COVID-19 has made a difference in everyone's industry. I mean, we can do shows, talk shows, radio shows from the house. I'm working at my other job from home. And I think that, you know, COVID-19 reverberated through the entire industry. So when you look at baseball coming back, and people are a little upset that, you know, they're not going to get the 160 some odd games that they usually get. People are like, man, it's not a season when you got 40 games or 50 games. And they've been floating around the 80 game march. Do you believe in my, because I kind of think that when you look at baseball, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe the new normal for baseball is 80-some-odd games. Do you think that a shortened season, changing the playoffs and doing something different could be a catalyst for baseball to spark the interest of the younger demographic?
It's a good question. It would take, I think it would take a lot of time to answer it. I've been rambling a lot, so I don't want to go too long. But I think in the end, it's a catch-22 because if you did cut – I, as a diehard baseball fan, and as I'm sure many diehard baseball fans feel, we'd hate the idea of a shortened season. Mm-hmm. Of any – you know, listen, it could be a little shorter, but it's any significant change to the amount of season would look at as a negative. Also, from a financial standpoint for the sport, there's no incentive to cut down – to, you know, 80-something games because you're losing half of your – they would lose a ton of money. Now, could you make it up in the long term from fans' increased interest? I guess that's possible, but it's unlikely. And that's the balance you have to deal with. I mean, think about the NBA for a minute, right? The NBA regular season is the most meaningless regular season probably of any professional sport. Is that fair to say?
Agreed.
Right? Now, if you cut – the playoffs down from 8 teams per conference to 4 teams per conference, it would completely change the value of the regular season, right? The NBA regular season would now have a lot of value because, wow, there's only 4 spots to make the playoffs. But in and that would you'd think have increased the interest in the regular season so much. But in the end, they're not going to do it because it's going to cost the money to cost those four rounds. And so, yeah, in theory, if there were less games in baseball, meaning that they'd all be more meaningful, that might create some interest. But in the end, I think that you'd lose too much money. Because you're cutting away half of your games, I think you'd lose too much money. And I don't think baseball would ever go for it. But they are they are just killing themselves right now as an industry at the moment.
It seems like I don't quite get it, and we'll let you go here really quickly. But it just seems like they have no interest in coming back, and they think they got all day. If they don't play baseball, what kind of impact do you think it'll have on the future?
Well, I mean, I think they've already done damage. You talk about getting young fans in. There's so many people still at home. And even if you're not, kind of quarantining yourself, you're still home more than you normally would be. And if baseball, in their original plan, they wanted to come back between June 30th and July 4th. Had they done that, they would have had a month. They would have had 5 weeks, potentially, where there were no team sports except for baseball. And you would have, I believe, increased your fan base because the casual fan, you mentioned you love baseball as a kid. You don't like it as much now. You probably would have watched. And I know Dustin, who's not a huge baseball fan, mm-hmm. He would have watched. So guys like you guys who aren't big baseball fans might have watched it, might have liked it, and maybe stayed in it. Even if a quarter of the people who don't normally watch got caught up in it and stuck with it, that would have made a huge difference. And so, one, they've lost that because – even when they do come back, it's probably not going to be at least to the middle of July, if not later. Plus, the bickering in the middle of everything that's going on in our country just makes them look petty. Now, in the end, I'm on the player's side, as I normally am on these things. I believe the players are negotiating in good faith. I believe the owners are not negotiating in good faith. I will never, never understand why fans ever defend the owners. Doesn't make sense to me. You're never going to be a billionaire. They don't care about you. They are all about lining their billionaire pockets. In the end, Garrett, this comes down to roughly 10. The owners are stopping a 70 to 80 game season over losses of roughly 10 to 12 million per team. Now, think about that. If you're a billionaire, if the value of your franchise is a billion plus, and in some cases two or three or 4 billion plus, you're telling me you're going to sabotage this season over $10 million? The amount of money you'd normally pay a fourth starter for a billionaire, that's a drop in the bucket. It's shameful. And the owners are trying to con fans who are not paying close attention. They've made four different offers. They've all essentially been the same offer with just different – they changed the amount of games and the percentage they're offering the players – but it's essentially the same pool of money. They went up a little bit on this from the second proposal to the third, a little, but not significantly. Whereas the players kept the same percentage and went from 114 games to 89. So they significantly dropped their pool of money 25 games. Whereas the owners have, in their four proposals, have barely changed the number at all. They're con men, as most billionaires are. And don't be suckers for it, people. Don't believe them. The owners are mostly to blame. Now, the owners in the players in the end, if the owners did make a reasonable offer that was close, should move a little, in my opinion. But until the owners make a good faith offer, which they haven't, I don't think they should. And I think the owners are definitely 95% of the blame in this situation.
Bull, I thank you. I appreciate you. And I thank you for coming on today with me.
Anytime, Garrett.